Welcome, one and all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live on the miraculous AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's even Fukushima irradiated, which has been good for the economy because everybody's managed to snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Today, we have a very special guest. You know how every show I say, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. It's because it's, if you notice, everybody's very special. Everybody's got a story of some description. And I find that if you start listening to everybody, you gain something that the mainstream media very rarely gives you, a thing called perspective. Rather, they'd keep you tunnel-visioned and not listening to all different sorts of conversations, and rather just directed in one particular fashion, whereas this show, we can go anywhere. All right? This is American Freedom Radio, okay? No taboo topics, and we mean it when we say it. My very special guest today is an author. She's a radio show host, has been doing podcasting for 13 years, and she's even a Reiki practitioner. This is a healing technique that involves lots of leaves, so I hear. But Reiki with the leaves. And anyway, her name is Maria Heller from Maria.net, and that's M-E-R-I-A, all right, Maria.net. Maria, welcome to the program.
It's my pleasure to be here. Big hello to my fans in New Zealand and Australia and everywhere else.
So you've been doing podcasting for an ominous amount of years, so 13. Well, what got you started doing that and writing your books and all of these things that you do?
Well, you know, I was an environmentalist most of my life, I still am, and a spiritual teacher, teaching Native American spirituality, the medicine wheel, Reiki, which is a hands-on healing technique. But I also had done some radio, terrestrial radio, out of Phoenix, Arizona. And way back in 2000, a young man, probably not any older than you, came up to me and asked me if I'd like to do internet radio. He wanted to start an internet radio station. And that was in the year 2000, when most people didn't even have speakers on their computer. So I said to him, well, it sounds like it would be fun. I'll try it for a couple of months. And it's 13 years later, and I'm still doing it 4 or 5 days a week.
And you've got quite an enormous array of guests there. I mean, just say the ones that I managed to take a glance at was the David Icke and Dr. Andrew Wakefield. So it appears that you're not kind of batting around doing nothing. You really are talking with some of the most important thinkers of our time.
Absolutely. Well, you know, David Icke is one of my regular co-hosts. I have six. One is an economist, Joe Myers. Another is an astrologer, Joe Anthony. I have Dave McGowan, who we will be delving into this latest program shooting in Connecticut. His expertise is Programmed to Kill. And Richard Grove, I don't know if you're familiar with Richard, but he's a co-host as well. And I know I'm leaving somebody out. Professor Jim Fetzer. So we talk about everything from assassinations to chemtrails to the lies our media tells us to the illegal wars that America is trapped in, the dangers of vaccines. I give a voice to the people that mainstream media in the United States will never allow a voice to. And people seem to like it.
Well, have you ever noticed that whenever you tell somebody, don't look at that, don't think about pink elephants, don't think about the color red, that's all they can think about. So the government tells you, no, stop talking about that. Stop thinking about these particular things. It's all people ever want to talk and think about.
Right. Absolutely. And well, that's the way to get people to notice chemtrails. If you don't tell them to look up, they'll never notice it. But if you just stand there kind of, you know, just gazing at the sky, eventually they'll say, what are you looking at? And you'll say, what are those? And it opens up a conversation.
Yeah. Or sometimes, in my case, I was outside my house. A friend had just given me a quick ring on the phone and said, Vinny, there's a massive chemtrail over the whole city. It was like clear blue sky and one giant, obvious clear strain chemtrail. So I'm out there at the front of the house with the camera shooting up, and this flatmate comes out of the house that lives above us, and she goes, oh, how are you doing today? And I was like, look at the sky. And she's like, yeah, it's really pretty, isn't it?
People don't notice anything until you slap them in the face with it. You know, there's the story that when the invaders first came to America, the Native Americans didn't see the ships because they didn't exist in their reality. So as huge as those boats were, the natives did not see them because it wasn't part of their reality. So I think that for a lot of people, they don't see the chemtrails because it's not part of their reality. But what I find is as soon as I point them out to someone, they never miss them again. So it's really our job to just wake people up and say, you know, open your eyes and take a look around and see what's going on this planet.
Have you ever noticed as soon as you expose one particular method of the enemy, they come up with all new methods that are usually just exactly the same as the old ones, just under different names?
Well, you know, here in the United States, and I mean, I do cover the world news, but mostly, of course, the United States. And here they use the same MO, modus operandi, every time because people fall for it. So why would they change it? You know, we just had a terrible shooting. I'm sure you heard about it in New Zealand. And it again went from three shooters to a lone gunman. I mean, we have pushed the lone gunman theory to death in this country since Lee Harvey Oswald and since John Wilkes Booth. We might as well go all the way back to the murder of Abe Lincoln. You know, and if people want to believe that that was just one single crazy person, they don't know history.
They don't know that history is not pocketed by just a few crazy people. It's actually almost a cauldron of huge quantities of powerful, crazy people.
Right. But, you know, when you trace back, even if you go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, it was the same people in control of the world then that are now. And, you know, I'm talking about, I'm sure you know, the Rothschild family, you know, and they still own all the money in the world and they still control everything behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, have the Rothschilds been thrown out of their massive mansions?
No, of course not.
Have they been stripped of their gargantuan land holdings or bank shares?
All these banks that got busted, you know, HSBC, and you have, you know, all these other ones. All they have to do is pay a fine. Nobody ever goes to jail. You know, but here in the United States, if you steal, you know, if you steal, I read a story of a young woman who stole somebody's cell phone. She was 18 years old. They kept her in jail for 51 days because she couldn't pay the ticket to get out of jail. She was too poor to pay the $200.
I wonder how much they paid the private prison contractors in order to incarcerate her for those 51 days. I think probably a lot more than $50.
Yeah, lots more. You know, the average price, so they'll admit to in the United States, of keeping someone incarcerated is $135 a day. Now, for $135 a day, you could stay at a really nice hotel and maybe actually rehabilitate instead of, you know, our prisons here, which make Abu Ghraib look mild. You know, people think our prisons overseas are just a horror. They have no idea that they're the same here at home.
Well, I've always got this fear of going to prison. You know, I've been arrested before, and the horrible thing is just the feeling of being in handcuffs and being locked in a room with no clock. Our time seems to drag on. Sort of thing, just kind of stress just wells up in your mind. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? This isn't helping me not want to become a further criminal. You know, this is actually making me angrier, and this is making me more frustrated, and I've got nobody to talk to help me through this tough time. I'm going to come out almost a worse person. And sure enough, as soon as I was arrested, I came out and I started doing illegal activity right away.
Of course, if you're not a criminal before you go in, you certainly will get the education while you're in there. But, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, Vinny, because most people don't realize they are in a prison. You know, we're in a prison every day. Just because you can't see the walls doesn't mean that you're not in a prison. You know, and I remember when I interviewed Howard Zinn and we were talking about Palestine, and he referred to Palestine as an open air prison. But here, you know, in the United States, or where you are, you know, with this whole fear, one world order fear thing going on around the planet, they can't put you in prison. Even if they put your physical body in there, they can't lock up your mind unless you allow it. So you can stay free in here. They can't touch inside you. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Well, it depends how strong you really are. I mean, because even the highest paid operatives, with given the right amount of torture, will give up secrets. And it seems to me that the whole process of torture in order to get people to confess things or whatever, and I'm sure you must have seen many, many videos of police brutality, how they set people up and just lie through their teeth and stuff like that in order to get a conviction. You know, it's like in warfare, the reason why you torture your people is not in any way, shape or form to really get information out of them. It's actually to scare other people who would rise against you, thinking, man, I might get tortured to death like this poor person.
Well, yeah, I mean, under torture, who wouldn't admit to anything, you know? I mean, that's just the truth of it. If somebody said I had to sit back and listen to Rush Limbaugh talk for an hour, I'd probably spill all kinds of state secrets instead of having to do that. But I want you to know, years ago, there was a little man. He's not a physically big guy. His name is Mordecai Vanunu. I don't know if you've heard of him. Have you?
No.
Mordecai Vanunu was a man in Israel who told the truth about Israel's nuclear weapons at their plant in Dimona in Israel. They put him in jail for 20 plus years, most of it in solitary. As soon as he came out, I was lucky enough to get him on my show. And he said to me that he wasn't in prison. He said, because he never allowed them to control his mind. In his mind, he was always free. So there's a big lesson there, especially if you're familiar with David Icke's work, and you will really understand that we live in an illusion, and they can only control us by our participation, but they can't control your mind unless you hand it to them.
That's what submission and domestication is really all about. They seem to have become adept at it. But it's like some people are very similar to a horse you can't break.
Well, yeah, especially if they happen to be Italian, which I happen to be. Maybe this case is that they're just born that way. I told you before we got started that I'm suspended from Facebook again. At my age, getting a suspension is like getting kicked out of school in the fifth grade. I've had, you know, CIA interference. And, you know, I've done my show for so long. So many things, death threats, this, that, and the other. Any other normal woman, probably, especially a woman, probably would have given up a long time ago. But it's not my nature to do that. To me, every time I get attacked means I have to be doing something right. If I'm able to piss off these big shots, then I must be doing something right. So for me, it's a game. I want to continue playing.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, are you playing to win or playing to get a draw? You know, because sometimes a draw would be quite nice if they would surrender and we'd leave them in their mansions and stuff like that, but get their hands off the pharmaceutical companies and the Dow Chemical and all of these other massive evil corporations that could be really good for people if they weren't run by sociopathic criminal scum. Right. You know. Under new management. I'm sorry, Mr. Rothschild. I'm sorry, Mr. Rockefeller. All your managers that you've appointed, all these directives that you've given, they have increased your business, but they've actually really killed people and destroyed the earth. So you're fired.
Well,
you can go back and you can live. You can live in Rockefeller Plaza. You can live in Rothschild Manor outside of London. Go for your life. You can enjoy all that gold stuff. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to assassinate you or any stuff like that. Just live your life of luxury. But stop trying to destroy the world.
Well, you're a much nicer person than I am, because I'd like to see them in all these FEMA camps that they've built throughout the United States to lock up dissidents. That's where I want to see the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, all the criminals. They all belong in a prison of their own making.
They do. But I doubt they'd go voluntarily, and I'm sure they've got heaps of crazy psychopaths in uniform that work for them that would prevent them from going there.
Yeah, but you know what? We got numbers on our side. If you really think about it, there are close to 7 billion people on this earth now being ruled by approximately 40,000. Does that give you any ideas? I mean, of the size numbers we have, you know, they can't kill everybody, okay? They just can't.
Technically, Israel alone with its 300 nukes could, if they really wanted to.
They only have 300. You know, Russia's got 6,000. The United States, we don't even count how many we have. So unless they want to blow them.
Hold on, Maria. We'll come to break here. We'll talk about blowing up the world just after we come back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Very special guest, Maria Heller, MERIA.net, Maria.net. We'll be right back. Back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, Maria Heller, MERIA, Maria.net. Welcome back. Now, we were talking about how long you've been doing your archives, and the point is you don't do live shows anymore because you keep getting hacked and too stressed out by it while you're live on air.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I obviously must be like public enemy number one, and I would get hacked all the time. You know, right after 9/11, right before they passed the Patriot Act, my show was pretty much shut down midway while I was doing one of the early 9/11 interviews proving that it was a false flag. And at that time, they had to reroute my show through China, back through Canada, which created an 11-minute delay in my show. But now with the Patriot Act, they can just come in and hack you right off the air without having to worry about breaking the law. So my show got hacked a lot. I mean, just a whole world of problems. And I just decided to pre-record all my shows because it was way too stressful. So I actually
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Are you saying that there's actually a clause in the Patriot Act that allows the government to hack live radio shows?
They have total freedom to do whatever they want. It's all warrantless now. They can do whatever they want. Back in the day when I started, they couldn't just interfere with your show because the Patriot Act hadn't been passed yet. People have no idea how many laws have been passed and how little freedom we have. You know, you got FISA, you got NDAA, you got the Patriot Act, you have, you know, all these named other acts. You know, Jesse Ventura's got a great book out on 13 documents everybody needs to know, uncovering all this. And now, you know, they're going to have spyware on the buses, public transportation, recording your audio conversations. I mean, we've become a total police state. And the only thing keeping us from getting even worse, you know, total fascist tyranny, is the fact that we have the Second Amendment, which I know they want to get rid of, which I think is why we've had so many multiple shootings in 1 week in the United States. The first thing everybody started screaming was, we have to do something about the gun laws. You know, the UN wants to disarm the whole planet. So, you know, this feeds right into the UN's agenda, which is the One World Order agenda, because I don't know, you know, about New Zealand, but I know what happened to Australia after they lost their guns, and no different than what happened in Britain when their guns were confiscated. And let's not leave out Hitler, okay? So, you know,
let's not leave out Stalin or China or Cambodia or Scotland under Edward the Longshanks or the Irish or any culture in the entirety of history that has been disarmed has gotten exterminated or enslaved. Every single one.
And now they want to do that here in America, which always makes me question whenever any of these shootings happen, because our government is not beneath killing its own people. History has proven they've killed and experimented on all of us forever. Yes, it's a tragedy. I feel sorry for the children. But you know what? We're killing children all over the world with our illegal wars, with our drones, with our landmines, with our vaccines. Nobody's crying for those children. So if our governments don't lead by example, what do they expect except for people to emulate what they do?
Well, I also want to constantly remind the current servants and the jack boots and the black masks and all of that kind of things who think that they're going to be gods in this new society that they're building. No, mate, you'll be sent to meet them, you know. Every single time tyrants come to power, they kill the people that help them get up there because they're the only ones who can bring them down from the inside. They're too much of a threat to leave them alive. Kind of like in a conspiracy, you tie up all loose ends.
Exactly. So all people have to do is take an attitude of non-participation. What if they, you know, years ago in the 60s, probably before you were born, there used to be an expression, what if they threw a war and nobody showed up? You know, if these old disgusting men had to fight their own war, there would be no war. If they had to send their own children to war, there would be no war. So I'm all for taking world leaders and putting them in a boxing ring and let them beat each other to death, and whoever wins, wins. Okay?
Well, we came up with a concept similar to that on another show. We called it the Banker Games.
Oh, the banker games. I like that. I might be stealing that one from you.
You know?
Well, interesting you mentioned that because this shooting that happened in Sandy Hook was also connected to the Hunger Games because the woman that wrote the Hunger Games lives there. Is that a coincidence? And let's not leave out that Connecticut has the strongest gun laws in the country. So by them making all their schools and daycare centers gun-free zones, they really opened up those people to be sitting ducks. Because if everybody was armed and knew how to use their arms, all the gun violence would be over in this country. Because nobody with a gun is going up against somebody else with a gun. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I've talked to some old guys from Texas and other states in the United States, they used to take their guns to school. You know, right. Nobody ever got shot.
Of course not. You know, Arizona, I live in Arizona, and it's an open carry state. So you can walk around with your gun on your hip. And I guarantee you, nobody's going to get in your way when you're wearing a gun. Nobody's coming at you with a gun. But in this country, because most people are ignorant of why we even have the Second Amendment, which was put in place for us to keep our government from becoming tyrannical, which it now is very close to being, I'd say 90%. But they don't understand that if they take the guns away from the innocent people, the good people, then only criminals are going to have guns. So, and when we have a government, I don't know if you heard of the big scandal that we sold guns to Mexican drug cartels. That goes all the way up to the top of the administration. Nobody wants to talk about that story anymore.
But hold on. What did the Mexican drug cartels pay for these guns with?
Well, with drugs, of course. Hey, the cocaine import agency. You know, I've always...
Oh, my God, that is brilliant. CIA, the Cocaine Import Agency.
Exactly.
I like that.
They're the biggest drug dealers in the country. And drugs, you know, you look at all these big banks that, you know, from the Libor scandal down, Barclays, you name it, all of them busted for money laundering. Well, who's laundering the drug money? The big multinational banks. But nobody goes to jail for that.
Well, and also the major corporations... I think there's a clause in Wall Street. If you've got a company registered on the Wall Street Stock Exchange, you don't have to file transaction receipts if you bring in more than 10 grand at a time, kind of thing.
And apparently Pepsi and Coke, or incidentally Coke, have been doing deals with drug cartels and things like that to launder all their drug money through the stock market for a long, long time. And it's basically drug money is the only thing that is really stopping the U.S. economy from plunging into a black abyss, really. It's the main source of real liquid cash that's being injected into the economy. The rest of it is just TARP bailouts.
Say no to drugs is the big saying here. When our government's been smuggling drugs since Mena, Arkansas, with Bill Clinton, to the Bush family, to the crap that goes on now. But, you know, we live in a world of hypocrisy. Just say no to drugs. But I guarantee you, as most of these school shooters turn out, they're all on pharmaceutical drugs. They're generally on terrible psychotropic drugs that are known to make them suicidal or violent. But, you know, they don't admit it right away. So we're going to have to do the digging, the online digging, to find out the truth of what went on.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly, this week leading up to the shooting, I think 4 days in a row on CNN and NBC and a number of other major networks have been doing specials on controlling assault weapons. And then
right,
suddenly get a justification for all this stuff that they've been feeding people for the week preceding it. You know,
what's interesting is how many of these shooters' fathers are involved in the LIBOR scandal, including this young man. His father is involved in the LIBOR scandal. He was supposed to testify.
James, I don't know what the LIBOR scandal is.
Huh?
I don't know what that is. What's the LIBOR scandal?
It's the labor interest. I forget what all the initials stand for. I covered it today on my news show. But it's basically the big bust in the multinational banks where they just got busted, primarily in the UK, for manipulating interest rates around the world. It's huge. It's a huge scandal. LIBOR. The shooter in Colorado's father was connected to the LIBOR scandal. He was supposed to testify. This kid, Lanza, his father's connected to it. 2 months ago, a nanny supposedly was watching two children in Manhattan who got murdered. Their father was connected to it. So I think these are some sort of hits from the people behind the scenes to tell these people, you're not going to testify because we'll kill your whole family. I don't see them as any better than any other gang or mob. But it's just interesting when you start looking at the similarities that happen all the time with these types of things. And then thanks to the online community, people that are actually awake, they start uncovering more and more and more. Because I don't know about you, but I know my listeners are very astute when it comes to realizing they're being lied to. They know how to dissect the news now. Okay, it did take me 13 years to get them there, but they're there.
It was a very simple trick for me. It's like to figure out what they were lying about, that takes a little bit of time. To figure out that they're lying, that's kind of like just a carte blanche thing. It's like, was it said on the news? Yes. Okay, then it's probably a lie. Did a politician say it? Yes. And it's probably a lie. Did a military official say it? Yes. Then it's probably a lie. Because these people don't get the truth out invariably. I mean, very occasionally. And that person will usually get demonized and attacked or whatever in the media. So you know that person who's being demonized or that group of people who are being attacked or whatever in the media, they're the ones telling the truth, and the media are the ones purporting the lies for the banks, the scumbags that set up the whole thing in the first place.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, to me, I'd say to people now, anything coming out of our government is a lie unless they prove innocence. As far as I'm concerned, everything is a conspiracy unless they can prove different. You know, they want us and say we're all conspiracy theorists. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy factualists. There's a difference. And yeah.
People often tell me, Vinny, not everything's a conspiracy. And I go, you're right. Just most things.
Most. 90%. Just 90%. But, you know, when you live in a society, you know, like here, you know, just say no to drugs. And now they want to create, they want to say that toddlers, you know, children who are 1 or 2 years old that have temper tantrums are mentally ill. So they want to put them on prescription drugs. Okay. Now, I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I know toddlers throw temper tantrums because that's what they do. It doesn't mean they're mentally unbalanced. But we have so many children on drugs that were never tested for anyone under 18. They were, you know, your brain's not developed till you're 18. And then they wonder why these kids are so psychotic. And let's not leave out the global economy, which I'm sure adds to people's mental stress. Couple it with vaccines, genetically modified food, you know, pollution in the air, pollution in the water. What do they expect is going to be the final product of that kind of accumulation of filth, let alone the filth they take into their mind with all these killing games, you know, computer killing games, movie killings, TV killings. Everything is killing in America. I don't know what it's like in New Zealand. I haven't been.
It's, well, we have American TV. Let me put it like that.
I'm sorry for you there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't get so much of the real junk TV because I went over to the States when I was 14, went to Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, stuff like that. And you know what I noticed about the real difference? The real difference is that it's so tacky and dumb by comparison. Like you have a look at the difference between the television shows that come out of different countries, and the American version just seems to have been so dumbed down that it's just not funny, these sitcoms. They're just not exciting, these thrillers, that kind of thing, because you see through them like they're a glass window.
Well, they have to dumb it down for the average American now who has an eighth grade education, if that. So, you know, it's got to be where it can just put you in the zone at the end of slaving all day for minimum wage to come home and take a few beers in front of your TV and get hypnotized into slumberland. So the next day you'll get up and say, oh, my life is better than those stupid jerks I saw on TV. So let me just keep going in and punching the clock. It's all designed to mesmerize people.
You know, I've got this. Hold on, Maria. We're coming to break now. It's the mesmerization process is basically it's just brainwashing and indoctrination through a television set. Okay, and people don't realize that mind control is actually addictive. So not only will you keep getting brainwashed, you'll want to be brainwashed even more. The more that you're brainwashed, isn't that interesting? Vicious cycle. We'll be right back after the break with Maria Heller.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the harmonica special of the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And in fact, incidentally, speaking of harmonicas, I was just listening to National Radio the other day, and this guy was trying to encourage people to, en masse, you know, get their harmonicas and get them playing and stuff like that. And I was fully encouraging of this because, you know, they're small, they're portable, you can play them in the exercise yard of the FEMA camp. It'd be great, you know, just lift everybody's spirits. My very special guest is Maria Heller. I don't know about you, but I have this kind of fantasy of you know, being taken to a FEMA camp or something like that with the big screen TVs and the popcorn and the Starburst and something like that and the volleyball nets. It'd be great.
Yeah, that's the people that got slaughtered after Katrina, what those FEMA camps were like. Or the illegals, they call them illegals in this country, that also have to sit in those in prisons because it takes so long for them to get processed. It's not so fun. I'd like you to start changing that fantasy. Remember, thoughts have wings, and you don't want to start creating a situation you don't need in your life. Visualize and inside the FEMA camps instead.
I don't know. I always just try to come up with some kind of a positive perspective, no matter how strange it might be, about getting exterminated. You know, I don't want to be killed or see other people slaughtered and taken away in cattle cars and things like that with all these plastic coffins and burial bags or whatever. But the mere fact that I know that these things actually do exist and it's proven and admitted by the establishment, that's a really scary reality. And I attempt to make fun of that reality so that I don't become part of it, part of the fear complex, rather.
You know, they want to create fear. Fear, fear, fear. This is a planet based on fear instead of love. You know, you came back from break with Bob Dylan's song, you know, the times they are a-changing, which, of course, takes me back to the 60s when there was actually a peace movement in this country. Where is the peace movement today? Nowhere. Where are the young people out in the street, you know, the flower children? Nowhere. You know, what do they have to say about these illegal wars that we're involved in and continue to get involved with? Nothing. You know, it's kind of sad that we're still playing the same songs from the 60s because there's very little being done today, you know, 50 years later. You know, what are you kids waiting for? This is your world, you know. I'm on the other end of life, you know. I had a very good life, so I have no problem leaving this planet. But when I look at you young kids and, like, my grandchildren and, like, my own children, it's like, you guys got to pick up the slack because my generation's dying and we're tired of fighting for the same cause, which is really why I continue to do my show. I don't have to do it. I could just sit back and relax like everybody else and play stupid. But what about the next generation? What happens to you guys?
Well, have you ever noticed that every generation gets blamed for the faults of the previous one? And it's like, I've got this idea that the youth have been so separated from the elders and this kind of mentorship that perhaps, did it used to exist where elders would mentor children on kind of a semi-regular basis and children would have many positive role models around them rather than being cooped up in school and things like that with other kids their own age who don't even know anything any more than they do and they just wind up forming into little youth street gangs, tagging and what have you. Did that used to even exist back in the day?
And it wasn't that long ago. I'm still alive to tell you, yes. You know, in my day, I mean, I don't know how old you are. You look like you're in your 20s.
27. But,
huh?
27, going on 28 in a couple of weeks.
When, you know, back when I was in my teenage years, you had mentors, you had heroes, you had real heroes. You didn't have baseball stars that were all drugged out and pumped up. You had decent people that people looked up to. We had the John Lennons. We had the Martin Luther King. We had the Bobby Kennedys. You know, we had the Abby Hoffmans in the street screaming for peace. You know, we had real heroes. But when I look at the trash that's out there and what our children are emulating today, you know, you look at Hollywood, you talked about the scum of the earth before. Well, you can't get more scum of the earth to emulate than what comes out of Hollywood. You know, when I was your age, Elvis was kicked off stage for shaking his pelvis too much. Now you have people actually having a sex act on stage and no one cares and everybody wants to emulate that. You have people worshiping goth, you know, black arts, the occult in music and in movies, a rash of vampire popularity. And this is what you get for mentors. You know, where are the mentors? I'd like to think that I've been a mentor because I'd like to say I lead by example. I never tell people to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. But where are those people for your generation? You know, they're nowhere. And you guys are going to have to become your own mentors. But yes, there was a time. And then you had to be that type of young person that would listen to and benefit from somebody older than you. Elders were treated with respect when I was young. Today, old people like young people are disposable. They just don't care about them. So history continues to repeat itself over and over. But I do feel bad that you guys have no heroes. You truly don't.
Well, new ones are rising up, and especially with this movement. online radio show hosts and online activism. This is now where our new heroes are coming from, because I think people have realized this this lack of transparency, this lack of honor, essentially, among their current leaders, that they want something new, they want something else. And me personally, I mean, I was pretty much without a father for the vast majority of my life. He was either at work or beating me up, or just not there at all after the divorce. And I had to accumulate vast numbers of elder male role models and female role models in order to compensate for that lost time, essentially. And I think because I actively sought out these people who could teach me something I didn't already know, that's how I've managed to grow as a man and understand other people more, because I'm drawing on a much larger pool of knowledge. I'm not just hanging out with somebody who's my age, who's seen more or less the same things that I have, who really can't teach me anything.
I agree, but, you know, most children are not going to do what you do, okay? And you know, the sad thing is, here in America, most fathers are missing. So it's not like it's the rare child who doesn't have a father who could kind of glom on to some other family. They're missing. They're missing in action. And, you know, what are children supposed to do? Children left to their own devices are going to get in trouble. Any parent will tell you that. But, you know, today most kids live in an empty house, even if they have both parents. Their parents are out working two jobs just to make the same money they made in 1963. I mean, that's the facts here in America. So who's taking care of the kids? You know, how did somebody not notice this kid was so crazy he was going to go blow up, you know, 26 people? How did he slip through the cracks, if indeed that story has any truth to it? You know, children need to have mentors. They need to have boundaries. They need to have limits. They need to have rules. And they need to have people that walk the talk. But meanwhile, we have leaders all over the planet that are, like you said, you know, they're low-life, dirty, dealing, double-crossing liars. And what are the children supposed to learn?
I've talked to a number of people who want to be part of the mainstream political establishment, you know, go to the current ruling party's meetings and things like that. And what I noticed about every single one of these people, these kids, is that they're scum, right? And they're just total, mindless, aggressive, repetitious, malicious scum, who have no empathy for other people, essentially, and they want to become the power brokers of our society. It's horrifying.
Well, you know, they're only victims of the programming, and the programming gets installed from birth. You get programmed in your school system, you get programmed by your religion, you get programmed by the people around you, by the TV, by the liars in your government, and people don't realize, you know, it goes back to what we started the show with. They're all in a prison. They just don't see the bars. And they all just march in lockstep like the Nazis did. You know, and they just see power. It's all about power. It's not about love. It's not about compassion. It's about power over others. And they'll do anything to get it.
All right. Well, Maria, thank you very much for joining us today for this hour. If you've got any final words, I mean, we want to plug your website, Maria.net, M-E-R-I-A .net. She has a number of books and copious quantities of archives and things of that nature, and I believe you even do one-on-one consultations as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, just tell your... The only thing I want to say to your audience is stay out of fear. You know, John Lennon said it best, you know, the love you make is the love you take, and, you know, love is the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. And fear is the opposite of love. So if you're feeling scared, you need to get yourself in check right away.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to add on that fear is something that stops you from thinking. If you're afraid, your thought process and your ability to reason, calculate, things of that nature, if you're very, very afraid, that ability almost disappears. So don't be afraid. Be confident. Be happy and understand that you are incredibly powerful if you decide that you actually want to do something about it. You know what I'm saying? A whole lot of people complain about things, but those people who complain all the time and never do anything accomplish nothing. Those people who complain very little and do a heck of a lot anyway, they're the ones who truly change society. Self. Information to back, just. Alert the masses.